Many Americans are fascinated by the British royal family in a way that rises above partisan differences. So, with King Charles III set to arrive in Washington on Monday for a state visit, all eyes will be on his dealings with President Donald Trump. The two will mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. But, as Ned Temko observes from London, the king also comes with a high-stakes political goal: to help repair the schism in the special relationship between the two governments over the Iran war. It's Friday, April 24th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Authorities arrest 25 alleged members of the Mexican Mafia in California. Local, state, and federal authorities said on Thursday that among the suspects arrested were alleged gang members who carried out orders given by the group's local leader while he was in an Orange County jail. The Mexican Mafia is a powerful gang that formed in prisons, but it also has extensive criminal activities in the streets. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California says that those arrested are part of three federal indictments that span charges including kidnapping, extortion, drug trafficking, illegal gambling, and murder. A second French soldier dies following an attack in Lebanon. An ambush on Saturday against UN peacekeepers killed Staff Sergeant Florian Montorio and Left Corporal Anice Girardin, badly wounded. Corporal Girardin died on Wednesday. French President Emmanuel Macron has blamed Iran-backed Hezbollah fighters for the ambush, though the extremist group has denied responsibility. Three French soldiers have now been killed since the start of the fighting in the Middle East, in addition to 13 U.S. service members and thousands of civilians. Also, a new bridge in Lesotho is set to boost water supplies to South Africa. The Senqu Bridge is part of a major cross-border water project that will increase exports from the Mountain Kingdom to South Africa, which relies heavily on its water resources. Officials say the project will also generate revenue for Lesotho, where about half the population lives below the national poverty line, and support economic development. This project is more than infrastructure. It is more than steel and concrete, said South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. It is a symbol of a deep and enduring partnership. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. How does a government balance its responsibility to guarantee fair and secure elections with the need to protect citizens' fundamental right to vote? A voter roll cleanup in India is sparking allegations of suppression. Contributor Akash Hassan reports from New Delhi for The Monitor. A $500 million bailout for Spirit Airlines could save thousands of jobs. But the deal, which could give the government a 90% stake in the company, is sparking criticism over federal interference in private industry. Lauren Belsey reports for The Monitor. In the absence of renewed U.S.-Iran talks, the combatants are wrangling over the Strait of Hormuz. But the main dispute between the two is still Iran's nuclear program, and President Donald Trump's pledge to secure a better deal than did President Barack Obama. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for The Monitor. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche signed an order reclassifying state-licensed medical marijuana as a less dangerous drug, following President Donald Trump's call for more common-sense policy. But many Americans have been growing more skeptical of the drug's effects on users and on U.S. society. Stephen Humphreys reports for The Monitor. Britain's King Charles III faces a delicate mission during next week's state visit to the U.S. to reinforce the special relationship between London and Washington as President Donald Trump openly berates Prime Minister Keir Starmer over his decision not to join the Iran war. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Women on the team Las Diablillas spend their 2 hours of softball practice every week in constant laughter. The game allows them to take a break from their traditional Mayan roles as housewives, mothers, and daughters, and do something just for themselves. Contributors Oscar Espinosa and Laura Fornell report from Honzonot, Mexico, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a judicious way to free Iran. For many Iranians, one way to hasten an end to the conflict with Israel and the United States is to make specific plans now for what would happen if the Islamic Republic should fall. These day-after scenarios vary, yet most present a moral alternative to the current police state in hopes of gaining defections from the regime. One notable effort was launched last month by the exiled Crown Prince, Reza Pahlavi. It builds on a budding trend in the Muslim world. Mr. Pahlavi formed a group led by Nobel Peace Laureate Shirin Ebadi to set up rules for a truth-finding commission and other steps to help victims of injustice, torture, and repression by the Islamic Republic. This victim-centered approach has gained traction in several post-conflict countries. It is based on the idea that empathy and truth can be forerunners to justice and peace. Syria, for example, has set up a commission on transitional justice following the 2024 ouster of a dictator. That country's effort is a constant exercise of dialogue at the community level, at the national level, and at the international level, Fernando Trevisan's, executive director of the New York-based International Center for Transitional Justice, also known as the ICTJ, told the news outlet Pass Blue. How do we live together after this? How do we continue writing the history of a country in which this doesn't happen again? For the war in Sudan, civil society groups are documenting militia atrocities against civilians in hopes that information will be useful in peace negotiations or assist in recovery after the war. Despite immense humanitarian needs, victims and civil society have remained steadfast in demanding accountability, placing transitional justice at the center of their struggle, wrote Ilaria Martorelli of the ICTJ. They see it as essential to breaking cycles of violence. Even in Israel, a tense political conflict over how to hold the government accountable for not preventing the October 7, 2023 Hamas attack has led the High Court to weigh whether to set up a state commission of inquiry to help restore trust in government. The Pahlavi plan for Iran depends on people being willing to balance justice and mercy for those in the regime who have violated human rights in order to achieve peaceful reconciliation. One model is Colombia's 2016 pact that ended a civil conflict by giving a formal voice to its victims. It turned out the victims wanted the truth about their lost loved ones more than retribution. The president at the time, Juan Manuel Santos, later said, "The victims have taught me that the capacity to forgive can overcome hatred and rancor." For Iranians today, Mr. Pahlavi said, "Transitional justice is a critical part to create a free Iran. The truth will be revealed," he said. "Justice will be served. Light will triumph over darkness." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Christ shows us that there's nothing standing between us and God good. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert. Thank you.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.